Blog Talk Radio.
Class is in. It's time for Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Sit back, relax, learn, and listen. Pick up the phone and get involved in the conversation. 858-357-9137. Listen and learn who you are. Learn the true history of how society was physically built. Learn the history of who you really are. Learn the history of your people. It's Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence through history.
I would like to take this time just to say good evening to each and every one this evening. And God bless you. As we prepare for our history talk, I would like to just deal with something that we're going through as a current event. And in our current event today, I would just like to touch upon how right now we're dealing with voter suppression and other issues that we're going through. For some reason, the police are still killing our African-American males. I thought that maybe after George Floyd, the conviction of Chavis, Officer Chavis, with George Floyd, that it would go down, but looked like it's in an upswing. But I just want to do a roll call of just some, not all, but just some individuals who were murdered by the police. Sandra Blaine, Eric Gardner, Trayvon Martin, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, Sean Reed, Manuel Ellis, Antoine Rose, Michael Brown, Victor White, Jamal Clark, Alton Sterling. Then we have Dallas Botan, and then you have Dante Wright. And it goes on. The list is so many more, how the police have been abusing their rights. And every time we look around, another innocent black individual lost their life. They stopped them for a traffic ticket. If they pull off, you gun down a person unarmed, not attempting to kill you or do anything violent against the police, but other than to drive off, but you're murdered. There's always the lie that they thought you had something on them or on you to do bodily harm. That's always the lie. And then at that, when this police lady, I think 24, 26 year veteran, said she thought she was going for a taser. First of all, a taser is much lighter than a pistol, which have lead bullets, and bullets with lead, the bullets have lead, and it is made out of steel, and it's cold steel, and it weighs much more. Then it's colored. It's colored. And for any trained police officer, when you carry your pistol, the safety should be on. She had to unlock it and then do the killing. So she knew better. And so many other things that they've been doing, and just really right here recently, the guy was wanted for murder in Baton Rouge, and he fled, and they got him, I think it was Biloxi, Mississippi. They followed him from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and so he went at least 100 miles that they followed him. They were trying to arrest him peaceful, but he started shooting. He had his three-month-old daughter, a child in there in the car with him, and the child ended up being killed, too, in a blaze of gunfire. I don't know whether or not that you should shoot with a child in a car. There are two black policemen that were arrested because they had a warrant for a white guy, and he had a shotgun in the truck They didn't know that his son was in the truck with him, and they fired up on the vehicle, and his son was killed. Both are in prison. Both immediately went to jail. It doesn't happen with whites. Whites can carry guns down the street openly and never get shot. They could charge the police with knives and the police run around the car and they go in without being harmed. They could do a mass murder and they go buy them hamburgers, take them to Burger King and come out of there smiling and laughing with them. So it's the rule is that it's a two-edged sword. It's you treat one group one way, but just put the sword on the other. It's been that way for centuries. And some be admitted that it's changed. It has not changed. It's been said, I heard the other day that President Biden, and I need to think of the guy named from Virginia, they said that America is not a racist country. Also, our Vice President Harris, she also made the statement that America is not a racist country. And you can use the analogy all you want that President Obama was president. Obama was president, and he was African, of African heritage. But America is a racist country. You've been through Jim Crow and everything else. The new Jim Crow is no more than systemic racism. It's built in the very fiber of this country. Blacks, the young black man who's a lieutenant, he learned his lesson and he learned his place where he was sprayed, he was mazed and everything because they thought he did not have a license plate, but it was a new vehicle. It was in the Wonder. Once they realized it was in the Wonder, they should have allowed him to go on about his business, not to check his driver's license or anything like that, because they didn't have a report of the vehicle being stolen. So it's so much stuff going on. Then we're dealing right now with voter suppression. And I said before I really go into dealing with anthropology, I wanted to talk to some current things going on. Be it made, people don't know, blacks only make up 30% of the voters in Georgia. But 30% is a great deal of individuals and could do a lot when you're voting. But to suppress that vote and to try to flip that back to a red state, Governor Kemp, and I'm ashamed that he would even have the same last name that I would carry, Governor Kemp of Georgia. He signed an order about the voting. Now, listen to this. Georgia and Texas restrictions are early voting, counting, photo ID, mobile voting, trying to get rid of a lot of mobile voting, absentee voting, trying to restrict the time that you have it, the mail-in ballot box, limited drop-off box. Now, I want you to understand that this is total suppression because if you close the polls some earlier, you have less boxes to drop them off, less individual could have absentee ballot. Most blacks have to work, and you can have low-paying jobs, and you're working. Special ID. You already have your the thing and your everything to, you know, to vote with. This goes back into the 1800s. In 1865, after slavery was ended, they amended rights and gave civil rights, and they gave blacks the rights to vote. But that didn't last very long. A good many blacks went into Congress and as senators and went to Washington. But whites didn't like that. White folk didn't like it in the South. And I think it was President Johnson when he came in during that time. He pulled the Union troops back from that during Reconstruction, and the Klans took over. And I want to say this: the slave never was made free; they were set free. They was let go, not knowing how to read, no money, nowhere to go, And then they had the Klans and the Knight Riders riding around. If they left the plantation, they would be killed. So they can't read. They can't write. They don't have any money. You promised them 40 acres and a mule. That was never given. That was taken back after they did that so that they wouldn't go forth. If they, the ones that may have gotten it, they took it away from them. By 1890, they started coming up with tests, and they later they came up with literacy tests. And in other words, they came up, you had to know the constitution of the, that state that you live in. And when if you knew the constitution, you'd have to be able to read. Well, they're not allowing you to go to school, so very black, few blacks could deal with that. So everything have always been a voting suppression. Then they went from that to they would put put marbles in a jar. They would put these marbles in a jar, and they may have found the marbles in the jar, and they would ask the black person to tell them how many marbles in a jar. Not a white person, black, Asian, or whatever could tell you how many marbles in a jar unless they counted them themselves. It would only be by luck, or you just luck upon saying how many marbles, and they still could tell you that's not how many marbles that they were in because they made the rules. Also, they had a voting tax, and the voting tax during that time was that they gave, and this was in the coming up in the 50s, 60s, they had this voting tax. And the voting tax was what counted. Most blacks were still on plantations, and they were still making a little money. So even if you lived up north, even if in the south, if they had a voting tax, it would equate to almost 2 months' salary. So no one could go without their salary for a month or two. So in other words, you would not vote. So now this is a 2000 voter suppression now. Well, why are they trying to continue to suppress black votes? Well, I'm glad that some folk want to know that. Well, the number of African Americans, the number of Latinos and other ethnic groups, brown people, are about to outpopulate the Caucasians in America. And in order to keep control, they have to control the black voting power. They don't want any more Latinos because they are the largest minority group in America. It's according to what state you live in, you will find out that Latinos outnumber African Americans in America. We may make up, as an African American male myself, we may make up 11 to 12%, but Latinos make from 15 to 16% of the population. So that's something that we have to look at, and we're going through these things right now. I see it earlier that President Biden, they was talking like America is not a racist country. Well, I beg to differ when you have your these so-called Christians. You're not a Christian nation, and you are a racist nation. Anytime you have these white evangelicals and white Christians refusing to stand up, and no blacks are being killed like dogs. Michael Vick goes to prison for fighting a dog, but you could gun down all these poor blacks in the streets, and whites are not screaming foul play about that. But that it's okay to kill a black because we less than a dog to so many whites. But then the Bible said, love ye one another as I have loved ye. So if you don't live by the Bible, then you're not a Christian. Being a Christian is Christ-like. Christ loved everybody. He died for the sins of the world, not just one race of people. And we got it so badly mixed up that, and white America need to stop lying to people. Christ was white. Christ was never a white man. See, he who write the narrative and he who write the story make the people be the color they want them to be. They could make the people good or bad, like they made the Native Americans bad people. They make African American bad people. But yet they were the ones to come over, rape, kill, and take the land from Native Americans and put them on reservation where things won't grow. That's a savage. Then go over and kidnap, rape, kill, lynch, burn, work from sun up to sundown. They did not build America, and you could tell them that their forefathers never built America. America was built on slave labor. So it's so much lies that went down. Anyone that would do to a person that was done the most horrible condition, horrendous thing that was ever done to a race of people was did to African Americans. Not the so-called, and I'm going to say this, not the so-called Jews or those people that were killed. And I don't get me, I sympathize with those who were killed during World War II. The Khazars, the Serfdoms, and ones who are here, I do sympathize with them. And I really do. But at the same time, you're not really Israelites or Hebrews, first of all. I want to say that. The next thing is, and saying what I said, and this is true, the next thing is you're not the most suffering people. The suffering people are African Americans who built this country, blood, sweat, and tears. Now, I'm going to go into anthropology, and I'm going to work my way to that time frame too. But the reason I always go to anthropology, and this is the reason, and it's very important that we learn that the origin of man came from Africa. All the white anthropologists, and anthropology is the study of man. The word anthros is the Greek word for mankind. And then so the origin of mankind, well, when they look for the origin of mankind, they go to Africa. Now it's a certain name of a group of people that they give. Kashan, if it's the world's oldest race. And they showed it, you could go on YouTube, it's K-H-O-I-S-A-N, the world's oldest people. Most of them, not all Africans are black as tar, and all Africans don't have wide noses. Africans that have never been interbred come in all shapes, heights, sizes. So that has nothing, no relevance to do with the shape of your nose and all that other thing. But they are supposed to be the oldest race in the world. And again, that's K-H-O-I-S-A-N. Caution, people, a race of people, and that they are Africans. And they're supposed to be the oldest race in the world. From where they came from is where creation supposedly started. And this is nothing that just written by, this is not written by African Americans. This is written right by white individuals, anthropologists, geneticists, and others who wrote and dug up fossils. This is what they came up with. And this is why we need to do it. And I wanted to talk a little earlier about the voting and this current events that's happening, because we're still in a struggle and we're still fighting for our rights so many years past the time. I was in a meeting on race one time, and I was told by a city council individual that Pastor Kemp, Dr. Kemp, it takes time. And I told him, hell, 150, a long time just for a person to decide to treat me fairly. And it's true. Why do I have to wait for you just to say I'm human and treat me and give me the same rights that you have? That could be done overnight. Pass the laws, uphold the laws. You know, you could stop the killing by the police and allow blacks to come together and give us the money to get $15 an hour jobs. They won't allow us to get rid of the poor, because long as they have the poor, they get free labor. They could lock you up. They could do you something. If people are not poor, they don't have to steal. They could go buy what they want to buy. So it's not a all fix where 100% all blacks won't be getting in trouble, but it would sure take a dent out of the crime. Because I don't care, are you white, black, long as any, I don't care what race of people, if you're very poor, you have to steal. You have to do something wrong. You're going to sell drugs or something to get money. And that's why that happens. So don't just blame it, some of the stuff blame. And don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming white America for a lot of things, but I'm blaming you for, you know what, they know what they're doing and controlling this. When you have only 1% of the people control the majority of all the wealth, you could take everybody's wealth together and still won't have more money than 1% of 330 million people. And that's a shame. And they keep the poor so they can stay up on top of the world. And our politicians jump through the hoop to satisfy those individuals. Now, I want to first start talking about anthropology. And again, I told you, anthropology is the study of God. I mean, not God, but anthropology is the study of man. And when they went on to study the man, they went to Africa. You know, they don't go to other countries. They go to Africa because they know that the oldest fossil and the oldest place where man came from, they could do a genetic test and tell that people on this earth, that all individuals on this earth today came from Africa. Sometimes they want to lie and say the Neanderthal, the caveman with this big, funny-looking forehead. So many lies have been made about the Neanderthal man that he didn't come. But the Neanderthal man is nothing but a person who came out of Africa and went through a mutation. That's all. And your best anthropologist will say that. And the lie was that the Neanderthal skulls were larger than the regular humans that came from Asia, Africa, and the other continents, and so that they were smarter. But that's not the truth. That has no relevance. So we need to look honestly, take our time, and to look off in the different things, because so many things that we once believed are really not the truth. And I thank God for so many things today that we need to start picking up books and read. Now, I want you to look at things. There's a skeleton, some remains of a skeleton, Afrosensa, a fossil skeleton that they found in Ethiopia in 1974. And the skeleton was Australopithecus. They call it Lucy because the Beatles had this record out in 1974 called Lucy. And not simply because of her upending or understanding about how she was walking upright and how evolution, they want to go with evolution also, but because of this name that they got for her was a household name, was Lucy. She was found by Dawn Johansson and a man named Pam Gray. And she was, they were at least looking for rocks when they found Lucy. And Lucy would be dating back to 3.18 million years ago. Well, once they didn't know that man was living back then, they want to say that man came at a later time. But when they get ready to look for fossils, they're not going to America, Russia, Germany. They're not going to go in other continents. They go to Africa. And also now, we're going to look at the paleontologists. Like Louis Leakey, Mary Douglas Leakey, how they discovered the first Fossil Proconsul skull. And when they found that, it was, some say, some scholars have thought that it was an extinct ape, which is now believed to be the ancestor to the human race. Okay. Now, Mary Douglas Leakey, she also discovered what they call a robust Zanthanthropus, a skull in the Odive Gorge in Tanzania. And that's in Africa where Leakey did it. This fossil, what they call was like, they want to say is when man first started walking upright, if I could just make it more simpler. But they also found millions of years ago that they had humans as well while they were excavating in the Odive Gorge in Africa in 1960. They also found different tools, arrowheads and things to make axes and different other things. So man was capable, mankind have all been capable for millions of years in making tools for war. And tools, just not only tools for war, but also they were capable of making tools to hunt and to work with. Now, I want you to understand that although there's proof that for millions of years ago that mankind came from Africa, and that's the truth. But now, they went even further. If we trace back the DNA in our genetics and DNA, if we trace back the DNA in the maternal inherited mitochondria within our cells of all humans, have a theoretical common ancestor. In other words, if you trace all of our DNA back to a maternally inherited mitochondria DNA, that's within all of us, you will find that all humans theoretically have come from the same person, have the same ancestors. And now there's a woman that this woman is known as Mitochondria Eve. Now, she's an African. She lived between 100 to 200,000 years ago in South Africa. Now, they're not saying that she was not the only first human, but every other female human eventually had no female offspring, failing to pass on the mitochondria DNA. And as a result, today, all humans today can trace their mitochondria DNA back to her. Within her DNA, now listen closely, within this African woman DNA and that of her peers exists today, all the genetic variation we see in contemporary humans, meaning humans today, since mitochondria Eve time and dealing with the different populations of humans that drifted all over the world in different distinct groups, they all carry her DNA. Now, I want you to understand this, too. There was a guy who later on, they found a skeletal remains of a man who lived about 315 years before Christ. So we're looking at about 2,300 years ago and 2,315 years ago. And they found him, this skeletal remains in South Africa. And they found out that this is the closest relative yet known to the humanity common female ancestry of Mitochondria Eve. They know that when he wasn't a hunter-gatherer, but he was a fisherman because he was on the coast. And this was found in Southern Africa. And he is the closest genetic match to Mitochondria Eve. Now, they found him in what they call, if you want to look it up, St. Helen Bay in South Africa. And also, if you want to look it up, he was found by archaeologist Andrew Smith of the University of Cape Town. Now, it is very, very important that we understand that these things are known to white scientists. Demise and to, not to demise, but to just not come out and tell you different things and not tell your children that they came from you. They're not a sophisticated race. They're a mutated race. And I'm about to tell you, too, about that. Now, out of Africa, about 70,000 years ago, and that's when they say that most of your anthropologists, paleontologists, and those who are geneticists and others come to a conclusion that mankind left Africa about 70,000 years ago. And when they left Africa, they went to Asia, meaning that way they went to over where the Arabs are. And then they went to India, China, and later on they moved up about 40,000 years, they moved up into Europe. But, and then I know somebody say, well, why are, if they came from Africa, why are they hair, why is it that their hair is different? Why are their skin color different? And I told you earlier, all Africans are not dark-skinned people. All Africans don't have the same type hair. And it's not because they've been like some scientists and some anthropologists want to say that some kind of way that they were interbred way back then with whites. No. That's a mutation. And I'm going to explain things to you as we go along. Now, that was the top geneticist, and the father of genetics is a guy named Gregor Mendel, who was born in the 1800s. And he did some research, and it still carry on to this very day. And what he did, he talks about the inheritance involved in the passing on of discrete units of inheritance, a gene from parent to offspring. Now Mendel found out that even he started off dealing with peas and different other crops, because he also was a botanist, and he found out the color variations of them. And then he dealt with mankind later, and he found out that dark skin or black or brown skin come from dominant genes, that brown eyes came from a dominant gene, that light skin came from a recessive gene, that blue eyes actually came from a recessive gene. And I'm glad you said that. If you would take a survey, and Mike could even Google it and ask per say 7.5 to 7.9 billion people in the world, how many people in the world would have blue eyes? I don't think it would even be a billion. It would be so many hundred million. It would be in the 100 million. Because it's a recessive gene, it's passed on, it's come from a mutation. You'll find out that most of the world have brown or black eyes. Only a very few people have it. Now, Mendel talks about this. Mendel law talks about, like I say, that black and brown are dominant, brown eyes is dominant, light skin the gene is a recessive, come from a recessive gene. Blue eyes come from a recessive gene. Now, I'm going to explain something to you after I do that. Mendel had three laws. He had the law of independent assortment. You could independently get certain people and put them together, and you assort them and by the way they look and put them together, and they will produce people looking like themselves. And this is what happened leaving when the people left out of Africa and went to other places. It was independent assortment. They were independent, And their assault, the assault was they did who they wanted to agree with. Then you have the law of dominance. The law of dominance is the people that's there, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to take on the dominant gene. And what I mean by that, you could take two blacks, people from the Sudan, which is the darkest, more darkest skinned people in Africa are from the Sudan. And you could get some other dominant race of people, but you could still take that same two and see you could get the recessive from the dominant, but you cannot get the dominant from the recessive. And this is what I'm about to say. You could take two of the darkest people in the world and come out with a white baby, an albino baby, because it's a recessive gene. It is a mutation of a recessive gene. Now, I want you to understand this, but you can't take two white people that have recessive genes. You can't take two people with recessive genes and end up with a dark-skinned, brown-skinned, or black child, because you cannot get the recessive from the dominant. Now, if you look up the word dominant, it means superior. Recessive means lower. And it's a shame that even white scholars use this as saying almost that they are a lower. But the Bible says God is no respecter of person. And by me saying this, we should take we shouldn't take it and feel that we superior to no one, because I'm a Christian and I believe that God made us all the same. It's that hatred that people have for one race of people, because they really have recessive genes or no more than a mutation of a dark-skinned race that they've been teaching it. And then they got what you call the law of segregation. Now, if you study the law of segregation, you know, blacks know how to understand with segregation. I was born in the 50s, in the 50s, and I was young, but I remember being born in the 50s, and I know what segregation is. I didn't know what it meant to go to school with a white kid. I can't say I didn't know them, because they did have some that almost lived in our community. And they knew how to say the little words, but we'd whoop that, we'd spank them. I'll put it in that word. I'm not going to say what I wanted to say, but they got their butt whooped by saying certain things if they ever said it around us. But segregation meaning that whites went to white schools, they lived in their own community. They even tried now with the redlining, and there's so much stuff that during that time. And they moved to Europe, and that was the law of segregation when they went up to Europe, and they were only interbreeding with people that had went through that mutation. And it's important that we understand what a mutation is. When I say that whites, the way they look, the reason they look is because they went through a mutation. Now, this is what I want you to understand. A mutation is the change of the structure of genes resulting in a variation form that may be transmitted by subsequent generation, meaning like after they left out of Africa, different things start changing the way they look. And then it says caused by alteration of a single base unit of DNA or deletion. Now, that deletion could be a deletion. You know, if you delete something, you remove it. So by them moving to a colder climate and the diet change, they could have had a deletion of melanin, because that's the only thing that's different. If you have today, most blacks know what an albino is. It's a black person that just look white. Their skin is white. So they're a deletion of melanin in them, and that's the same thing. I'm just appalled, and I'm going to finish telling this about that, but I'm going to finish my statement. It also is an insertion and arrangement of larger section of genes. A mutation is ultimately the only way in which new variation enters the species. That's why you see different individuals look different ways, because they went through a mutation. Out of Africa occurred 70,000 years ago. Those who stayed back in Africa looked a certain way. And I was trying to explain to you about this deletion of melanin that went into them. They don't have melanin in them. And what I'm so appalled at is this. And through studying and research, I'm appalled that if you find a white catfish, a white catfish is an albino catfish, a white alligator is, I'm from Louisiana, so when I speak on these terms, I'm saying something. I'm going somewhere with this. If you find anything white, a white tiger is an albino tiger, and if it's a white rhino or whatever, they call it albino. Why white people are not albino? Are you ashamed that you are albino? Because you didn't start off the color you were. It's a mutation or variation. It's a variation of a form that may be transmitted to subsequent generation. It's been passed down through the years. And you know what's so ironic about that? I've been told by so many individuals, and I have a PhD in theology, by the way, about blacks are cursed and black folk are cursed because God cursed Ham. God never cursed Ham for looking on his father's nakedness. He said, "Cursed be to Canaan," and that was his grandson. But God never cursed no one to be black. But I beg to differ. If you would read 2 Kings 5:27, it talks about Nam leprosy. Now listen at what it says. It does not say that all Nam children would be a leper, but they said the color would be leper white. They say now Nam's leprosy was clean to you. It's talking about Jehoshaphat. Lamb leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. They talk about the white, the skin will be white, and it will cling the leprosy. They say, and they became white as snow. And he said that all their descendants would be cursed to be white. Now, that's biblical, but there is nowhere possible that you're going to find where God cursed anybody to be black. Now, you could research it all you want and go through all the lies and tell folk all these lies that you want to tell them, but you're not going to find that anyway to be found. And so I wanted to say that because it's time that we start researching and learning the true word of God. It's because we have been taught by the very same people that sold us into slavery, and to make everything okay, they used those lies that black people were cursed to be black so that they wouldn't stand, like they wouldn't have to stand under judgment. But God knows the very hairs on our head, and he know that they are a liar, and what they're lying from is from the pits of hell. God knows the truth. You see, God knows that about in A.D. 70,000 years ago, after modern human had already established themselves in Africa, smaller population branched out to establish footholds in Asia and spread it to the west and to the east and into Europe and reaching what we even call America today. Now, I want you to listen at something I'm saying. I really, really want to let you on something of why America is doing what they're doing today with African Americans. I mean, we need to know this, and I'm going to keep going with some things earlier that's way back thousands and 70,000 years ago. But this is why things in the world is what they are. You would be surprised that Caucasians or white folk only make up 11.5% of the world's population. White folk make up a very, very small population of people on this earth. Everybody else are people of color, but being that they're warmongers, people that hate and violent, and other people have a spirituality, wherever they go is bloodshed and they kill. And while you're saying 850 million whites in the world, well, there's 7.5 billion people in the world. That's only 11%. That's only 11%. Now, if you would count the population of Africa, Africa got about 1.2 billion people, just blacks in Africa. That's not counting the 48 million that's in the Caribbean, in the Caribbean. That's not talking about a 48 million in the United States of America. That's not talking about 1 million blacks in Canada. That's not talking about 1.5 million blacks in Mexico. That's not talking about 15 million blacks in Brazil, or 400,000 blacks in Australia, or 159,000 in Argentina, or 8 million in Europe. This is something that you all know. And if you would add that population on to what is already that 1.2, you would almost have 1.3 billion people of African descent in the world, outpopulating whites. That's not counting India, that does have 1.3 people on their continent. You go to China, man, they have right at 2 billion people itself. Everybody else make up a small population of the world. So it's time that we realize and understand why they are so violent and why they do what they do. And it's time that we understand, too, and stop allowing whites to put this brown-haired man and white guy and say that this is Jesus Christ. Okay, it's time that we stop and think about what's going on. And think about it. It's time that we understand that even with King James and I think her name was Queen Isabel, they were slave traders. And they had different things translated to suit the way they lived. Don't you know that with the Catholic Church was so heavy in the slave trade that Pope Nicholas the VI, he was the one signed a referendum for slavery. Now, I want you to put a check this out, really. Find out what are the ethnic groups that's in the Holy Land. They're going to tell you it's the Eskenaz. Look up who are Eskenaz, and they're going to tell you they're from Russia, Caucasian, Lithuania. They're not really Israelites. And the next are really people from Iran and around Turkey. They're called Khazar. People are the Sephardims. And really, they're Spaniards. They are Portuguese. They are not Hebrew people. Now, I want you to understand this, and I want you to understand what I'm trying to tell you. That's who are in the Holy Land. Don't get me wrong. They picked up some customs. They picked up trying to worship Yahweh as the true Hebrews did. But the true Hebrews were black. The true Hebrews were black. And I want you to, before I give you this, I want you to look this up. The term white people started in the USA in 1680. But before that time, you either was from Europe. You wasn't a white person. You're either from Europe, you was from Africa, you was from China, you was a Chinese, you were from China, you were Japan, you were Japanese, you was from India, you was from India. So it started in America, and it was something by the rich patient and rich people that had the black and whites indentured servant that was working for them. They were not making any money, and they were about to turn on the rich. So what the rich whites did was made upper-class people out of the poor whites that came up. And if anybody is Caucasian on here, I don't want to bust your bubble, but the first settlers that came to America was white vagabonds that were sleeping on the street, drunks, opening the jailhouses, and other things, people coming over here looking to get free land. They were never no intelligent people. Matter of fact, the Native American kept them from starving and dying off, and they brought many diseases to the people. And after doing all that they did for these Caucasians, they killed the people and took their land. So you, whenever you want to tell me about true history, it's time that we stop lying to our children and our grandchildren and start writing true history and let them know a bunch of terrorist savages came to America and killed the people. A bunch of terrorist savages came over to a place and went to Africa, kidnapped, raped, burned, lynched, worked from sunup to sundown. They took the land from the Native Americans, and they used African to build the country. And this country was built on the blood, sweat, and tears of our grandparents from Africa. Now, I want you, those who are studious and take notes, I know a lot of people don't take notes. But the only way you're going to learn, and I always tell the people in my congregation, my parishioners, I tell them that if a person is saying something, you ought to take notes. Go back and find out whether or not that person know what they're talking about or whether or not the person is telling the truth. Now, there's going to be some people that are going to disagree with me and try to put their swing to things about the Neanderthal, but the very words that I'm using come from other white anthropologists, geneticists, and things that's just flat out telling you that they came from Africa. They went through a mutation and variations of things. And so it'll be that way. But if you ever get opportunity, I want you, you want to know about the Bible, right? You want to know about who are the real, Israelites. I'm not going to say Jew because that just, a name for a place is the place of Judea, but the people was only one tribe, and that was the tribe of Judah. But the children of Israel, the covenant was made with the 12 tribes of Israel, not just Judah. So, and that's not Judah. They used J-E-W, and that term wasn't being used at that time. It came in with some bad interpretation. Okay, now I want you to look at Zondervan Dictionary, and I want you to look up the definition of Ham, H-A-M, Zondervan Bible Dictionary, definition of Ham. And this is what you're going to find. Just don't take my word for it, but I want you for to look it up. Zondervan Bible Dictionary, definition of Ham, is going to say the youngest son of Noah, born probably about 96 years before the flood, and one of the eight persons to live through the flood, became the progenitor of the dark race. And it talks about Ethiopia. It talks about, they call the dark race Ethiopia. They call it Egypt, Libya, and Canaan. Now, I know that white people have painted the Egyptian light skin, but this tells you right here, biblically, it says that the Egyptian were the people of the dark race. But the whole point of view of it is, they said that Ham was the progenitor of the dark race, but not of the Negroes. Not the Negroes. Now, I never forget, like I say, I'm a product. I was born in the 50s, but I was raised in the 50s, and I remember going through the 60s. We were called colored people, Negroes, and then colored people. Then we was called black, now it's African American. We had different titles, but they called us Negroes, and I wonder why. You call us Negroes. You were calling us the chosen people of the world, and we never knew what you was calling us, because that means you would have to have been off the lineage of Shem. Now, in obtaining my master's degree, I had to write a thesis, and in writing that thesis, I ran upon something I wanted to know. I wanted to know who were the people that came from where Abraham came from, Ur. And I found out they were called Sumerians. And I asked the question, what color was the Sumerian? And it said that the Sumerian were people that were chocolate. So you telling me Abraham were chocolate, and they say they had stoop noses, mean thick noses. So now and then they said that it was 2-1 of Ethiopian civilization. So I know I just told you Ethiopia were black. Then when I went and just started reading my Bible, I found out that's the area where Ham's grandson, Nimrod, the one that God called a mighty warrior that was building the Tower of Babel, that's where he was. That was his area. But that's where Abraham came from. See, we're so busy listening at a people that just heart, everything in their heart is to make themselves look good above every other race and not take their rightful place, that they didn't have much or nothing to do with the Bible because they left out the Bible around the 10th chapter and of the book of Genesis and didn't really come back in until right around where they really came in was right about 300 and some years before Christ with Alexander the Great. That was the Greeks, and the Romans came in about 180 some years before Christ after they had overpowered the Greeks. Now, there were some people during the time when Israel were in Persia in bondage during Esther's time that they say at the second to the last book, I think it's the 8th chapter of the book of Esther, where it says that when Mordecai won the battle, that the people in that area, they were not Israelites or Hebrews or Jews, but they took on the religion, and that is your Khazars. So it's a lot that you can get by learning to read. And I oftentimes I tell individuals that I teach in the seminary that I'm over, to learn to read, pick it up, learn who you are and who's you are. Find out what's going on and things that you'll be surprised. I was so surprised that before Columbus would ever thought about coming this way, before the Spaniards or the Portuguese with the slave ships or anybody else came or Columbus came sailing to the west, that they had blacks already over in Mexico and other places. They found different down in Venezuela, they found some fossil bones, and when they found out, they found that they were aboriginal, meaning they were black. That's the oldest fossil they found there in South America. They were black, but they said they don't want to give. Blacks have always traveled by boat. Blacks have always fished, but they tell you your blacks can't swim. They can't. They didn't believe in boats. Blacks were traveling the seas because you could leave from West Africa and ride the current straight to Brazil. You could get lost in a nice-sized boat and end up in Brazil or in the Americas. Because you had to take the current and ride the current where you was going. Now, there's a race of people that was in Mexico. And if you ever get a chance, I would love for you to look this up. They call the Olmec people, O-L-M-E-C, Olmec people. Now, I want you to understand, once you see a colossal head, is a stone carving. Okay? It's a stone carving, and it was made of basalt boulder. And some of them from 9 to 14 feet tall. I mean, tall is a one-story home. And they were carved. And when you see that statue, you know who he is. You know that there's black people. If you see how broad the nose is, like they shot the nose off the Sphinx and so many different statues in Egypt, the noses are shot off. The noses are broken off because they don't want you to trace who it is, because one thing is distinctive that you could tell about a lot of blacks. Don't get me wrong. You got a lot of Africans on that East Coast with printed nose like Caucasian. So they do have some black Egyptian with printed nose. They are. And so when you're looking at that now, but with this Olmec people, with the colossal head, they had broad nose and big old lips and big old round noses like a lot of Africans from the West Coast or different other areas. Now, they said they was here, some of them were here, was 1200 BCE, and that's before Christ's era, before Christ, and some was 400 years BCE, before Christ's era. You know how many, that's over 1,000 of years before Columbus ever sat foot or came foot, and he never came to America, but he sat foot, when Columbus sat foot, he sat foot in Hispania. He didn't come to America, and that's a shame that they write in the history books that he came. But the Olmec colossal heads are stone large basalt salt boulders and range in the height from 1.7 to 3.4 meters. Some of them were 900 years before Christ. Olmec is a civilization of ancient Mesoamerica, meaning Mexican America, that in the Americans in South of in America, when they say Mesoamerica, some are in Mexico, and the name of the city where you can find them, La Vente, San Lorenzo, Tres, Tabasco, Veracruz. And these date back to, like I say, some of them date back as far as 1,200 years before Christ. Now, they've unearthed and they've found 17 heads have been discovered to this very date. And then 10 of them are in San Lorenzo, Mexico, and 4 of them are in the La Venta and the San Andreas Mountain, and they have some in the San Andreas Mountain in South America. So blacks have always been over in the Americas and other places, but we always left out of history so many inventions that we discovered, but we've always been left out of history because whites are so a people that want to be the smart people. That you want to be the inventors. No, you wasn't the first person. It was a black man that made it to the North Pole first. It's known. We know this. It's time that, you know, you quit telling people lies and quit lying to your children, because your children sooner or later going to find out that the history that you taught them is very deceptive and it's not true. All they have to look at it. Now, and I think I'm going to start coming, bringing it to an end. But I want us to understand that the Bible was written about a lot of black people, not white. All you have to do is look it up, and you'll find out that the Bible was written about black folk. It was written about, and why are you saying that, Pastor? Why are you making up this? Well, I'm not making it up. If they came from Ur, the Chaldees, and it was a Sumerian civilization, the people were chocolate with wide, stoop, thick noses, they were black. That was your Hebrew people. Why do you think that Moses was able to pass for, I just gave you the definition of Ham, and it said that he was the father progenitor, or the father of the dark race, and they call Egypt and Ethiopia. Well, if the Egyptian were dark, how did Moses pay for Pharaoh's daughter's son? How did Joseph, when he was taking that pass for an Egyptian? Why did they take Jesus there to hide him? If Jesus would have looked like a white spot on a Hershey's Kiss, a white spot on a black, if you have a whole black wall and you put a white dot there, you can spot it anywhere. So you can't hide a white kid around black, but you sure could take them where other dark-skinned people and you'll never find them. And even with the Apostle Paul, if you go to the New Testament, they thought the Apostle Paul was the Egyptian. You already heard that they come off of Ham, the dark race. But now, if you I just submit to you, read Acts the 21st chapter, verse 28, and they're going to tell Paul, they thought the Romans told Paul, they thought that Paul was the Egyptian who led 4,000 men out and slaughtered people, 4,000 people out in the wilderness. So, and then if you look up David's genealogy, you're going to find out that David's grandparents were either Egyptian, Ethiopians, Canaanites. You heard them say that the dark race, Ham was the father of the dark race, and they tell you that he was the father of the Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the Libyans, and the Canaanites. Well, if you look through it, when Judah first started off the reign for the birth for lineage of Jesus, he was with Tamar. She was black. They had a son named Hazel. Named two twins came from it, Zerah and Perez. From Perez, from that black boy Perez, came another son named Hezron. Hezron had a son named Salmon. Salmon married the black prostitute Rahab, Canaanite prostitute Rahab, black. They had a son, and he's very famously known all through your Bible. It was Boaz. Boaz was a black man. He married Ruth. And Ruth and Boaz doubled back and had a child. His name was Obed. Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had King David. This is your Bible. But when you read the Bible and they show pictures of Bible characters, all of them are white. Every disciple, every prophet, every patriarch is white. Why? Because it's been whitewashed and it's nothing but a lie. It is something to tear your self-esteem now, but it'll never tear my self-esteem because reading is fundamental. And the only reason we don't know is because we don't pick it up and try to learn about ourselves. And we need to teach our children about ourselves. And I think that once our children build up high self-esteem, we'll quit killing one another. We'll know that that God loves us. He didn't make any junk. We're not the savages that we were lied to that we are. That it's their race is close to being the savages because we didn't rape and pillage and kill no one. The act was done to us, and most people say that, most individuals are saying that the reason whites are so afraid of blacks and always talk about they're scared that we're going to hurt somebody or do something because they're afraid you're going to do to them what they know what they did to you. They know the horror that they've sent us through. They know about raping our parents and having us, some from the lightest, and blacks come from the lightest of light to the darkest of dark. They know what they've done. They know what their grandparents done. Many of us have cousins and other people that are actually the product of that. I have cousins like that, the product of that, and look like they're white. And they're in their 80s. But we know who they're for. They were for the plantation owners. So it's no secret of the low-down things that have been done to us. And we carry this with us. But we need to find out and we need to learn that they are the ones that who are savages, not us. They even have us believing that we're savages. That's why we're killing one another. And we try to imitate them, and I'm going to finna open up for it. But we need to quit imitating. I'm going to tell you, it makes me feel sad to see that we go by, do drive-by shooting. You know when white people did drive-by shooting during the Prohibition in the late 20s and 30s with Al Capone and Babyface Nelson and Frank Nitti and the Mafia, they went and done around him. We 80-something to 90-something years behind time doing the same thing that these evil people did. We picking up their evil ways. Let us go back to being the people who we are, but let us start standing up for our rights. God bless you. If there are any questions, you may ask the questions now.
God bless you. Thank you, Pastor, for a powerful show. The lines are open. If there are any questions, anyone have anything they'd like to ask Pastor, any statements, the line is open for you now. God bless you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Well, good evening, Radio Land. Everyone that's listening tonight, my brothers and sisters in Christ, those that are not in Christ, to the host of the show, Pastor William, to my friend, Pastor Kemp, you just proved a statement to me that I heard years ago. I didn't know exactly what it meant, but validity was put on it just now. The Bible is true, but the Bible is not truly written. And when you use the word narrative, the ones that wrote it up for the typical America nowadays in the world, they wanted to show them as dominant. So that statement I heard way back in the 60s, the Bible is true, but the Bible is not truly written. Well, it's proof. That's my belief. Well, Pastor, I learned so much, and I hope you're being heard around the world. I had a problem with truth when I was young. I didn't know what I even had a problem with. But you stupid. How can I be one of the ones to help change it? Lord, that's Christ. That's my daddy. Just show me what it is I need to do. I mean, I have to depend on that. I mean, it's just a fact. I'm a ghetto. I ain't nothing without him. And if anybody out there think you are, you're just fooling yourself. He's a merciful God. I have to go back to Pastor. All the things that you said, I'll be listening so attentively when you describe us. I want to know where I come from. But I know I got to learn it before I can tell it to somebody else. And I don't go around telling this because I'm still learning it. I doubt if I ever be able to do it like you do it, but that's all right. If others could hear you, it don't have to come from me, but if others could hear you, and when you talk about Ham just now and Abraham, it kind of made me, I don't ever like to question God and say why, but I knew one thing. Said this the other night, the characteristic of Satan, kill, steal, and destroy. Now, if I'm the prince of this world, why would I want to kill you? Why would I want to steal what I gave you? Why would I want to destroy it? No way, Jose, not today. Satan, like I told him, we kept looking at that in a physical sense. It's not. As long as I got you under my control, I'm going to keep it like that. It's all spiritual because Satan is the enemy of my daddy. And my daddy spoke and Satan heard, I'm going to make me a race of people. I'm going to make me a people to praise and worship me. Satan don't want to do his job in heaven, so the fight began. Now he going to go and kill, steal, and destroy that my God made to worship him. Well, I mean, I'll go into it later on about the kill, steal, and destroy because I'm researching on that. But people, you got to realize, everything's been changed. That's why Pastor Kemp is so important. That's one thing I'm going to give you, saving change to history by doing what? Altering your mind. It's not physical, ladies and gentlemen. It's all spiritual. We got to be taught that pastors, thank you so much. I'm glad I'm right here in Baton Rouge with you. And by the way, that 50-year talk about, I was there from day one, 1950. And you are so true. I mean, I'm a witness for pastors saying, I'm right here in Baton Rouge too. And this is one of the most prejudiced cities in the world. But they good at hiding and putting it up on the table. But they don't get by me. Only way they don't get by me is through knowledge of Christ. Christ's going to take care of his own. I am a firm believer that, Pastor, keep on doing what you're doing. And, Pastor, we'll thank you for the radio station.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, sir. All right, the line is still open. Anyone else like to comment? Those that are still holding there, the line is open for you. If you'd like to talk to Pastor Kemp. All right. Back over to you, Pastor.
Okay, I was listening at Minister Melvin, and I want to tell Minister Melvin, they didn't change the Bible. What they did was the way they interpreted the interpretation that they hand out during the story. They show movies, and all the movies show white people play all the Bible characters. If they want to show a slave, then they show a black person. Like, blacks couldn't be nothing but a slave back then. And anything that's done, blacks are already always put in a negative viewpoint. And the Bible is good, but they don't tell you when they talk about about what color was Jesus and show pictures of Jesus. They're not going to show that Jesus was a dark skin, a black person. They're going to always show a white person because they don't want their children to bow down to and say Jesus is God in the flesh. Well, but he was real dark skin. So to make themselves be right and to make themselves be right for all their sinners through, they only show because they control the television station that we use, you know, the media, they control it. So they make everybody look like them. Although, as I said earlier, they are the least population of people. That's why President Donald Trump, the demagogue, Donald Trump, that's why he was so obsessed, and they are so obsessed about destroying the voting rights is because we're getting to where most of the people in America is going to be people of color, not just black, but I'm talking about from Japan, China, and from Middle East and other places, and black and Hispanic, and whites are no longer going to be the majority of people. So in America, so they're trying to find any way possible to keep it from being that way. Where you make it easy for the other groups of people to vote. It's a lot of things that's going on, and they control the media. They control so much things, and that's what they control. What every time it makes me want to throw up around Easter when they show about the crucifixion of Christ. All white people, one black person might come and carry the cross because that show he was a servant for the white people. That's where it's betrayed. If they show Moses was a white person. Well, how can Moses pay for it? If you look it up and do the study on Egyptology, it's going to tell you during the time Moses, it was black Egypt. Well, how can Moses pay for the man's son? And then now you have to understand that the decree had went out was to kill all the firstborn that come through the birthing stool. Well, how could you raise, if that was a white children and it wasn't black, how could you bring a white kid baby in the house and they were told to kill all the white babies in your house and raise them as your grandson? No, there was all black people. So they could pass for each other. Even Joseph's brother. Joseph, they show you the Hebrew was black. Joseph's brothers came there and didn't identify them like they were white and Egyptian were black. They said Joseph was the Egyptian. Okay, and they say Joseph was the Egyptian. So it tells you, the Bible tells you, it's implicit. It's not explicit. It's implicit. But they make things explicitly. They when they draw a picture of a person in the Bible, like who's who in the Bible. Every picture of Moses, everybody in the Bible is white. Mm. Now, even to the day, they've got very few white people in the Middle East. Only those few, only white Caucasians they put over there talking about the Jews in 1948. The rest is Arabs. Come on. People are not dumb. Okay? So I think for those who don't have anything to say, just listening in tonight, I thank you for tuning in. And
well, I got something to say, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
If it's all right with Pastor Will.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Okay, well, what it was, if I'm speaking hypothetically, trying to put myself in that place, I'm pretty good with that. I don't know whether it come out right, but I think I'm pretty good with that. If I were white and I knew what the truth was, I know that they know from the creation. They had to know, Pastor. Why would you be so inferior to that black man? Come on, I'm thinking, why would you be so afraid of me and you altered the history, the course of, not the altering, but the knowledge of history. Why would you want to change that? You're going against what God has chosen for his chosen, God has his chosen people. Now, I really believe that white man knows a lot about God, a lot. But from what you're teaching us now, Pastor, I'm just thinking back. I put myself in his shoes. I don't want the world to know about this race. This race is dominant. This the white man speaking on. This the other man from Melbourne.
Do you know that it's pretty much known around the world already?
Uh-huh.
But we are the people that don't know. It's known around the world, but we are the people
that don't know. They knew. They knew what it was in the beginning, Pastor. They had to.
People in China, that's why they don't want them over there. Russia is white, and Russia don't want them there. That's why you think that they can't go over and the Muslim countries don't want them there?
We welcome them.
They've seen what they have done every way they went.
Yeah.
India, the British control India, the British control over that Iraq and other places. They had to beat them out of those places. They even control Iran until they got their independence. Now they don't want to no way back over because they know that Caucasians have came every way that they came. They raped it and took all, try to take all the valuables from a country. There are so many African artifacts all over Germany and Britain and things that's worth so much money, but it's in somebody else's museum.
Yeah.
It's in someone else's museum. But it takes us to start reading and quit worrying about a barbecue and getting drunk and set our children down and let them know they are somebody. That they are who that they really are, that they really are. And they really, you know, and not that you're any better, but don't teach them that they're better than people. Although that if you look it up, that our DNA is dominant, come from dominant genes by their own geneticists. Say it's dominant. And things like that. But see, you can't take two recessive people and get a dominant gene. They got an article out of now about all these people, they're paying millions of dollars for these race horses, and they're racing them. And after they race them so long, and they go and they have them killed, after they can't breed them no more, they don't just live their life out on the farm, they kill them. Michael Vick fought a dog and it died. That's the same thing. You're going to pay millions of dollars for a horse You put his stud fee out, and after he can't make any more babies, get a certain age, they can't make any more, then you kill him. But every horse, if you look at the color of those thoroughbred horses, meaning purebred, the black and brown horses may have a touch of white right on their forehead. Other than that, they're purebred. No, what you call them in them. And things like that. They're purebred. Africans are purebred people. But they've been lied on and despised to make them feel that they're a lower form of a human being. You're ape. You know, that's what we've been told, man. It's something that we really have to teach our children. I just thank God for Pastor William that he came up with it. I was very well studied, but he came up with it, man. We need to, you know, and it's God working through him, and that's why I give him a lot of credit to Pastor William. He said we need to get this out. We need to do this, and he's been doing it spiritually, educational-wise. He want to get things out, and he want to really open our eyes to our people. And it's incumbent upon us to get the people to listen and listen closely so that they can teach their children, and their children will not have that low self-esteem. Amen?
Amen. Pastor Will got this. He don't have that spirit of fear. And when I heard him tell that man from California that night when he used that vocal word, Pastor got right on him. Most people wouldn't have seen him. I probably wouldn't have said nothing. But, Pastor, I really admire you when you stuck up for this. No, you stuck up for my daddy. No, you can't talk like this on this show. He ain't never called back no more. I just want to throw that in, Pastor. I got your back. Best as I can, Pastor. I got your back, sir.
Pastor William?
Yes.
Thank you, Simon, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I went out for a second. What did you say there?
No, we were just more or less just saying how what we think of you, and I was letting them know that the ideas and different things that came up for this program, and then being able to teach and things like this for our people and to uplift our people, I want them to know that it was you, your idea, and that you about spiritually, intellectually, that you're trying to build an African-American community by letting them know the truth. And you have all these different ministries, spiritual ministry, prayer ministry that's going on that you deserve the credit. I mean, you found out that I knew certain things and that you felt that it would help. And that's where I come in at by just coming in and that it was you focused on our people. And I really appreciate the idea that because it's great ideas. And Minister Melvin was talking about how he was so happy that you stand up for Jesus. And that's what we were saying while you were away.
I thank y'all. But, you know, as we all agree every night when we on this air, we give God all the glory. God gets all the praise for this. This is all for him. And Dr. Kemp, with what you know and your knowledge and everything that God has put inside of you, you know what I'm saying? That's powerful in itself. So I give glory to God, but I thank y'all very much for everything that y'all are putting in too, because we in this together. And, I love you brothers for that. And we going to keep breaking chains together. Amen.
Well, so it is. I'm for it 100%.
Amen.
I just hope
others
will listen to this history. Let me throw this in. I'll be 71 in a couple of months. And I played nearly 54 years. And I never heard this Pastor, this is truth. You realize how many people here in Baton Rouge know me from music, how many churches I played at, and I never heard this. And I'm 7'1", Daddy, why you wait so late? You tell me right now, I didn't wait late. You were just running. The bill wasn't. I was a little fast, Ralph, you know. And that's the truth. God let you run till you get tired and bump your head, and you try to bump your head, then you come back with all them hickeys on it. Well, Pastor Kemp turned me on to some stuff, Pastor Will, 71, 54 years of music. I never heard this. You trust me, I've been up under the leadership of a lot of ministers in 54 years, and I never heard not a one. I can't say one did it. Not a one. So, Pastor, I mean, God is never late. This is right on time what he wants his children to hear. And it's working. I know it's working. I feel it in my spirit. I see it in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, in the clouds, in the rain. I hear it in the thunder. I see it in the lightning. It's working. That's what I'm going to call it. If they call it things that are not, as of though they are. I did that with that car, with my car. And I bought a car last Friday. I just act like I had one. And it came to pass. Then I bought it in the cab. Nobody did that but my daddy. Nobody did that but my daddy. That's from listening audience being obedient. He's mighty, merciful. Thank you.
Amen. Well, again, I want to thank each and everyone for tuning in to this radio broadcast, and we pray that God will richly bless you. I pray there was something said, something done in this broadcast that gave you more knowledge of yourself and of God's holy word. Again, from Breaking Chains and History Talk with Reverend Dr. Lavert Kemp, I just want to say thank you and God bless you. Let us pray. Merciful
Pastor,
Father, we
before
come.
You pray. Before you pray, my stepdaughter, my former stepdaughter, got cancer real bad. It had to take most of her mouth out to get to the cancer. And she had like 12 surgeries in 4 months. And so I did a special prayer at 5:03. And I texted to him. I said, I want you all to watch this time. So we all in agreement that I'm still looking for some petition I sent over with 503. There's healing in you and her. You got to call it. So, Pastor, you can put her in prayer on her name.
What's her name? What's her name?
Who? Takena Cormier.
Okay, Takena, okay. Merciful Father, we come in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, Lord. We pray with something said, something done in this, your history talk. With Breaking Chains with Dr. Lavert Kemp and Dr. Williams. Father, we ask that you would look upon Sister Takena and then, Lord, that you would bless her, Cormier, that you would bless her, Lord, as she go through cancer. And, Lord, we ask, Lord, if it's within your will that you would heal her, Lord. We know that there's more medicine in the hem of your garment than any drugstore or pharmacist. Lord, we come to you, Lord. We asking, Lord, and we're praying for the family, that you strengthen the family, that they could stand by her side. And, Lord, let us all go into prayer, Lord, and just to strengthen this child, Lord, and just bless her, Lord. We all stand in need of your blessing, Lord. I ask that you build us up where we're torn down and strengthen us, Lord, where we're weak. Lord, you know what we need. Look upon us. Now, Lord, I ask a special blessing on Breaking Chains. I ask that you bless all the participants, and we bless Sir William as he's our head and as he put together these programs that they can instruct and guide us by the Spirit of Almighty God. We thank you, Lord God. We ask that you bless every church that's open preaching and teaching your holy word. Lord, we just love you, Lord, and this is why we do what we do. This is why we come forward to preach and teach your word, bless Brother Melvin, Minister Melvin, as he share his word and he share his heart and his love for God. Be with him, Lord, and strengthen him as he go along his everyday duties, Lord. And, Lord, just give us the strength, fortitude to continue to share your word. We ask that you just bless this country, bless all the states and cities. Give us where we could come together as one. Unite us, Lord, as the United States. Unite us as every country in the world come together. Unite us, Lord, for the sake of you. Oh, we thank you and praise you. In the mighty message, name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Don't forget, we'll see you tomorrow night. Breaking Chains right here, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Be blessed, everybody. We love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Have a good night.
Amen.
Love you, brother. Good
love
night,
you,
everybody.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the trouble by ourselves. Oh, 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 oh. My people, I love you.
I love you.
We are dying.
We are dying.
They are lying. Hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be.
I'm just trying to be.
Great as I can be.
Great as I can be.
Grow with one another. Living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me.
But you hurting me.
Why not work for peace?
Why not work for peace?
Lying from Zion. Yeah. And you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, yeah. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. Oh, 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 oh. My people, I love
I love you. Oh, oh.
Why we hurting?
Why we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
to love through all? Oh. Can you feel the grace,
can
family?
You feel the grace,
to breathe
family.
Another day.
To breathe another day.
Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble by ourselves.
People, I love you.
My people, I love. I love you, my people. I love you, my
people.
People.
I
feel your pain, people. I feel your pain, people. We're family.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. Oh,
come on, Lord.
Oh, 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 oh,
oh,
oh,
I love you.
Can you feel it all?
Oh.
We thank you for taking a listen this evening. You've been listening to History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp right here on Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Heard every Tuesday right here at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. YAT Radio logs on to leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence, teaching you about who you are and whose you are. It's History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp every Tuesday on YAT Radio, where we are breaking chains. Sponsored by the United Theological Seminary and Bible College in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.